Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in. To our message series, what's God's take on that? And our message today is titled, Practicing Spiritual Principles in All of Our Affairs. So guess what I'm going to talk about today? That's right, Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus! All right. So here's something to ponder this morning. When we don't think we think much about it sometimes when it comes to Jesus. But Jesus prayed, Jesus fasted, Jesus sang worship songs, and Jesus studied Scripture. Are you listening? I mean, it's really important, I think, to get that. We can really just end the message right here and say amen with that. And just resonate on that for the rest of the message. Just sitting quiet. But I want you to reflect on this for a moment and ponder this question. If Jesus is God, if he is the full revelation of God, as Hebrews 1:3 tells us he is, then why does God have to pray to God? Just think about that for a second. If you're a God incarnate, rabbi, teacher, then why do you have to take your own lessons? If you're the creator of the lesson plan, hear what I'm saying? If you invented the Rubik's Cube, for example, you invented it. Why would you need to study any plans or designs to learn how to use it? I want you to ponder that. Why must Jesus practice spiritual principles in all of his affairs if he is God with skin on? Why? Let's not lose sight of the many names that we just lifted up in the song Waymaker that Jesus is known for. The miracle worker, wonderful counselor, Waymaker, Prince of Peace, Son of God, I am, the great I am, Redeemer. And on and on. Jesus performed miracles, fed 5,000. Then he fed 4,000, not counting their spouses and children. He performed exorcisms of demons and knew the truth of everyone's story before they ever told it, before they even opened their mouth. Jesus knew what they were about. So why was Jesus so committed to practicing spiritual principles? If he's God, how did he do all these miraculous things if he was fully human? This is the next thing to think about. If he's fully human, if he emptied himself of everything, then how was he capable of performing all these miracles in these supernatural abilities? Was he like Peter Parker or Clark Kent? You know, you just jump into a phone booth and poof, come out and be God when he needed to? I mean, these are things to think about. Was he just a superhero on demand? How was he able to do all this stuff? And it's a critical point to remember that in the early Christians, the first century Christians especially, didn't understand Jesus sometimes the way you and I understand Jesus, or we claim to understand Jesus today. The earliest followers of Jesus would have understood Jesus more like Philippians 2:6-7. So I want to pull up those scriptures and check this out. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings when he found himself in the form of a human. Let me put it this way. If you're going to teach somebody how to use Windows 11, this new platform that's out by Windows, you better know something about Windows 11, amen? So I want you to think about this in connection. For Jesus to teach us how to be human beings, Jesus had to be human. He had to go through that experience. So he emptied himself, as we read in Scripture, and he became like us. He experienced everything we experienced. He felt everything we felt. So let me ask you a question. This is a great question to ask. If Jesus was fully human, then how did Jesus do all the stuff that he did? I want you to think about that. Right now, I think, in this message especially, we have a great invitation to rethink what we know about Jesus, especially going into this 2022 year, especially as we get ready to talk about Vision Day later on. There's a great prayer that's used in recovery circles quite often to open their meetings. It's called the set-aside prayer. Sometimes they call it the lay-aside prayer. I want to give you my adaption of this in a Christian form. So this is the Christian form of the set-aside prayer, my interpretation. Dear God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, my faith, the Bible, and spiritual principles. Everything I think I know about Jesus, the Christian faith, Christian fellowship, the Holy Spirit, all spiritual terms, especially about you, God. So I may have an open mind, a new experience. Please help me see the truth. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. So are you ready to set what you know aside? And if so, then I encourage you to lean into this message, because we're going to dive into it. Because this is really, I think it explains a lot about who Christ is, but it also, more importantly, explains about who we are as kingdom people. So we're going to dive into this. So think about this. Jesus lives on this earth for 33 plus years, and 90% of that was in silence. 90% of his story we don't know nothing about. Think about that. We know one little story about when he was 12 years old. We find it in Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52, when Jesus was 12 years old. He and his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover with a bunch of other relatives, a big group of them. And during this trip, Jesus was left behind somehow. So they traveled a few days before they figured it out, like 3 days. And when they went back, they found him teaching with the elders in the synagogue, hanging out. Mary and Joseph were worried about Jesus, but Jesus was exactly where he needed to be. Even at a young age, Jesus was trying to practice principles in all his affairs. He knew who his father was, even at that young age. He was preparing himself for his earthly ministry. Friends, I think it's really important to know, as a boy, Jesus was practicing spiritual principles in all of his affairs. So, great question. So, what was Jesus doing for his first 30 years? Studying. How? Through prayer, through meditation, through reading scripture, through fasting, through singing. During this entire time, Jesus was practicing spiritual principles to shape his spiritual formation, just like we're called to do, and setting in place the cornerstone for an archway which you and I will one day walk through as a free person, not just in eternity, but here on earth, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And if you've never done that, if you're listening online or you're listening to this message afterwards or you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to be that cornerstone, to be that fixture into your life, to be the Lord and Savior of your life, well, you will before the end of this message, I can promise you. The first story we have of Jesus' adult ministry, we heard about it in the beginning of our opening sermon video, bumper video, which was John chapter 1, verse 26 through 34. This experience is when John the Baptist says, "The Holy Spirit came down like a dove and rested upon him." Up until that very moment, friends, I want you to think about this transition. Jesus is fully human, just like you and I, until that happened, until that experience happened. I think it's important to listen to that. There are no teachings of Jesus prior to this apocalyptic moment. None. Zero. Prior to this moment of him being transformed by baptism. And so what does apocalyptic mean? That means that something's been unveiled or revealed to you that you've never seen or witnessed or experienced before. This is what happens to Jesus. So in this triumphant moment is what bridges heaven to earth. I want you to think about it. This is how big a deal that scripture I just read is. This is a bridge that bridges heaven to earth in that moment in time, this exact experience. This is where we get that term, on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, this is where we get it. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, Jesus takes Peter, Paul, and James to the top of a mountain to where he would be transformed right in front of them. He would go through this transformation. And while we were away, Jesus left 9 other disciples to take care of everything. You're in charge. And sure enough, as soon as they're gone, here comes some guy with a demon-possessed kid. And they tried everything they knew how to get this demon out of this kid. And they couldn't do it. And they were frustrated. And they were confused. And they were baffled. And then Jesus returns. And he steps in and he commands the demon to come out. And the demon comes out. And the 9 disciples were, let's say, discouraged at best, because they couldn't command the demon to leave. Yet Jesus shows up and it happens. Did Jesus brag? Did Jesus boast? No, he didn't do any of that. Rather, he replied to his disciples. He said, "This kind of demon only comes out by prayer." Are you listening? These spiritual principles we're talking about, prayer, meditation. Is your prayer life as bold as that of Jesus? I think we need to think about that. Listen to how Jesus practiced spiritual principles in all of his affairs. Before the Holy Spirit rested on him, Jesus prayed. Before revealing the truth, calling to his disciples, Jesus fasted for 40 days. Before he walks on water, Jesus is alone with God. Before he chooses the 12 disciples, Jesus is up all night in prayer. Before he asks the all-important question we must all answer in our lifetime, who do you say that I am? Jesus was alone with God. Before the crucifixion, Jesus was praying, singing songs, and reciting songs. What does Jesus think he's doing? Listen, friends, nothing on his own accord. You hear me? I mean, that's really important to get that. Jesus talks to the Jewish elders about this in John 5:19-23. But in John 49-50, Jesus reminds us of this very thing. He says, I don't speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me regarding what I should speak and say. I know that this commandment is eternal life. Therefore, whatever I say is just as the Father has said to me. So there's three key spiritual disciplines, spiritual principles that I want to lift up this morning. There's three of them, and we're going to dive into those, and you can see those in your lesson plan. Number one, know what God says and does so you know what he wants you to say and do. Sounds pretty simple, right? But that's number one. We have to be in God's Word. We have to study God's Word. If we're going to do what God is doing, then we must know what God is doing and what he's saying if we're going to repeat it. And how can we know that if we're never in God's Word? So how often are you in God's Word? You see, these are spiritual principles. These are things that this Jesus-looking God that you claim to follow, these are the things that Jesus did all the time. Number two, the Holy Spirit opens the channel to God, but, really important, with conditions. We've all experienced a kink in the hose. You think about the hose when you water your grass or you wash your car. If it gets a kink in the hose, what happens? The water doesn't come out very good, does it? You hear me a lot talk about the tube theologies, tube spirituality, where if there's something in this channel and it can't get through, then there's problems. You can see where I'm going with this. But we have this channel. We're created to be a channel. We aren't the channel itself. Holy Spirit's the channel, but we are part of the channel system. And if the channel is blocked, then we're going to fail spiritually, and we're going to fail to live into our kingdom calling. Number three, you avoid temptation and resist the devil when your channel is clear. Really important to listen. The story of Jesus is bracketed by temptation. Out in the wilderness and also in the Garden of Gethsemane. Both times, he's bracketed with temptation. Jesus could have felt like Adam, but he didn't, because he was practicing spiritual principles in all of his affairs. He was praying, he was fasting, he was singing, he was reading scripture. And that's what stood between saving the world and becoming Satan's puppet. I mean, that's what kept him from becoming Satan's minion, if you want to call it. This is the spiritual practices, and it's the same thing for you and I. Spiritual disciplines kept his vision clear, and it kept his focus on the heart of God. It's really important, I think, for all of us to get that. He knew what God said, how he said it, and therefore how to carry it out as a human being. Just as a human being like you and I. Jesus said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit that came upon him, the same Holy Spirit that came upon him in that early scripture that we read. This is what he's telling the disciples. The same Holy Spirit that came to me will come to you. The Holy Spirit will open the same channel to God that Jesus enjoyed. Are you listening? This is what opens this up. It's this gift of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate it a lot on Pentecost Sunday, but it's really important to get that this is a gift from Jesus. Jesus didn't do anything until the Holy Spirit came upon him. The 12 disciples didn't do anything until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And you and I aren't going to do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And that's what our baptism is all about, is receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers you and me to continue the work of Jesus. Jesus himself says it here, I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. There's no magic formula or no special qualifications. Friends, prayer, fasting, reading God's Word, and singing praise songs truly work in our lives. They are spiritual disciplines that we're asked to practice in all of our affairs. Why? To help usher in the kingdom of God, because we're part of that experience. You and I are part of this very, very experience. And here's how it works. And Jesus tells us exactly how it works. And so here it is. The companion is the spirit of the truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. If you don't remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done. My Father is glorified when you produce much fruit, and in this way prove that you are my disciples. Friends, we can't do anything on our own, but if our channel is open, Jesus reminds us that we can do everything, and we can do it well with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So think about this as we head into Vision Day. When you think about this pandemic, when you think about the decline in not just, you know, our church, but the capital C church, the big C church in the world. Think about this. It's easy for the principalities and powers in darkness to discourage you or to think that this is it. But this stuff has been going on for thousands of years. This is just part of how the enemy works. But we can do anything, and it's powerful. And so that's what I want you to really hang on to as we move forward from this day forward as a kingdom body, that there's nothing we can't do. We wouldn't be doing it anyway. It's just our willingness to show up, to pray, to fast, to worship, to sing praise songs, and more importantly, this is important, being in God's Word all the time and doing it together, not as individuals, but together. And if we do that, we can do some amazing, amazing things. I want you to think about this for a moment. Your finite body, this is really important promise, I think, to get. Your finite body can be where heaven touches earth. Think about that, because it's the truth. Your finite body, your little broken, frail body that you dish around and fix up every day, try to make look pretty, is where heaven touches earth. This is your channel. You're a vessel. You're a channel for that to happen. I hope you take that seriously. God's grace, power, goodness, righteousness, justice, shalom, all that are available to the world through you. This is really important, I think, to understand. The spiritual hose. We use the hose illustration, but the hose runs from God to you. And our job is just to make sure there's no kinks in the hose, that there's nothing blocking this channel. And believe me, there's all kinds of things that try to block the channel. But our life is supposed to become like a living spring. Living water is supposed to pour out of us. And we must remain humble because the servant is never greater than the master. Jesus never got greater than his Father, and neither should we be any greater than that. It's imperative to know that we're describing is not no Sunday morning, I'm going to come to church and get fed. I'm going to charge my spiritual batteries for the week. This isn't what we're talking about. This is like I'm going to charge my phone on Sunday so I'm good for the next 6 days. This is a vine branch connection that we're talking about. I hope you get that, seriously, that this is what we're talking about. Remember the words of Jesus. The moment the connection is broken, the fruit dries up. So, I mean, this is really important about your spiritual life, your personal spiritual life. When that connection gets broken, you're going to dry up. You're going to be a dry, casual Christian that will eventually just dry up and float away. And that could happen to any of us, myself included. You're not Clark Kent. You're definitely not Peter Parker. You're a living spring from heaven if you align yourself with God in the right ways. Jesus had to learn to go... Jesus had to learn to let go of fear and self-preservation. He had to die to himself. You know, nothing will clog your channel quicker than fear. You know what I'm saying? Nothing will clog it quicker. In this pandemic, decline, division, polarization, all this stuff creates this fear that the world's ending. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. A little chicken little for you. You know, this is what happens when it gets into our channel. And so you get discouraged, and when you get discouraged, guess what you do? You quit. And I'm encouraging you not to give up. But to take your calling for as long as you're going to be on this earthly life seriously and know that you're a channel and know that you got a huge responsibility and it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit through you doing it. Just remember Zach Williams' great song, "Fear is a liar." But it'll block your channel quicker than anything. So we have to let go of ego and power and control and glory and prestige. We have no superpowers. None of us. Our open hands are just nothing more than living water pouring out. We must continue to drink from the well of living water, which is who? Jesus, right? That's what we're about. There are no superhero disciples, no special disciples, just disciples. And you're a disciple, no more, no less than I am, no more or less than Peter, John, or James. By practicing spiritual principles in all of our affairs, we experience the love and favor of God. And how awesome is that? I think it's an awesome promise. We are broken and finite, yet we're blessed to the gill. Amen? As disciples, we all have the capacity to know the mind of God. This is mind-blowing. And to know God's business. He invites us into that circle. To know His mind, to know what He wants us to do. How does that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. It's not easy. I can promise you, as soon as you walk out those doors, there will be 1,000 distractions, 1,000 lies, and 1,000 contradictions that will just meet you where you're at. And try to rock your channel. But practicing spiritual principles in all your affairs will keep that channel open. Spiritual disciplines are not homework. It isn't here you go out and you do this work. They're critical practices that form our spiritual infrastructure for the rest of our earthly lives. God's healing and hope flows to us, to the world. We need thousands of living springs, friends, in this community alone, right here where we're at. You are that living spring. You are a channel. If your channel stays clean. If you allow the bridge to collapse between you and God, there's nothing coming across that bridge. I can promise you. I want you to think about that. That's a huge responsibility. It's good to know this truth. Living a Jesus-centered life produces fruit. What you need to reflect on, is there any fruit coming from my life? And if they're not, you need to ponder that. It's critical to understand that the Holy Spirit's the channel. So you're not building the channel. You're not building the bridge. The Holy Spirit is the bridge, is the channel. Your job is to keep it clean. So I'm going to close out with these couple questions, these final two questions. And this is what I want you to ponder while we pray and while we sing our next song. So number one question, what is the state of your channel? To thine own self be true. And is your channel clogged? Do you feel like you're spiritually lost or spiritually disqualified or spiritually bankrupt? If you say yes, then in a moment we're going to pray and reflect on those two questions. And I propose to you to reflect on those two questions as we pray. Again, as I said earlier, if you're listening online or listening on demand or you're here with us this morning and you never invited God to walk with you shoulder to shoulder through that archway where you can rediscover life, where you can be open up this channel for the first time, and really experience the kingdom of God in your life, in your heart, then I encourage you to pray after me as we go into this prayer. Remember, it takes two to say yes, and God already said yes to you before you were ever born. All you have to do is say yes, and then come all the way in, sit all the way down, and stay. And friends, that's the hardest part, is to stay here. I just encourage you to stay, because it'll be the best thing you ever did in your life. The greatest years, the most satisfactory years lie ahead of you if you just stay right here and become part of this kingdom community and see not only as an individual channel, but as a kingdom of God community, Jesus-centered community as a channel, what God can do through us. And we're going to talk a lot about that in Vision Day. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for today's message. I want to thank you for the life of Jesus. His incarnate life. As fully human as anybody sitting here today. And he practiced spiritual principles because he knew that that was going to be a requirement to keep the channel open. And Lord, may we learn that lesson from Jesus. What he spent 30 years of his life doing before he ever received the gift of the Holy Spirit, before he was ever baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, he was just like everybody here. He felt the same. He experienced the same temptations. He dealt with the same frustrations, heartache, and tears that all of us face right here, right now. And yet he was victorious through spiritual principles of prayer, fasting, reading your word, and praising you through song. Lord, may we never lose sight of that. May we hang on to that truth, that Jesus was just like us. And then he received the Holy Spirit, and his life changed. And he started saving lives and bringing people back from the dead and healing people and knowing things that only you would know. And Father, that same truth is for each and every one of us here. You provide that same Holy Spirit, yet the principalities and powers will dilute that truth, will twist that perception to where we don't see it for what it is. Lord, we pray that our channels this morning can be broken free, that we can get unclogged, that we can take it seriously, that we truly are a channel for heaven to come to earth, each and every one of us. And that it's our responsibility to keep that channel clean through confession, through repentance, through reconciliation, through all things necessary to keep it clean. That's our responsibility. That's our part. That's how we participate in our kingdom journey. Help us to have the honesty, the open-mindedness, and the willing to do just that. Lord, there may be some listening today that don't know you at all, or they've just fallen off the grid. They've compromised their spiritual journey. They got caught up in their own self-interest. They lost sight of your interest, and they feel spiritually disqualified, or they feel like they've never known you at all. And Lord, so we're going to pray collectively in the privacy of our hearts and as an invitation for all of us to reaffirm our faith, but those who don't know you at all can maybe for the first time ask you into their life. And so, Lord, we're going to pray this together. Dear God, you know that I'm fatally flawed. You know my hurts. You know my habits. And you know my hang-ups. You know that I'm a sinner. You know that I'm fatally flawed. You know the good, the bad, and the ugly of everything that's taken place in my life. Lord, I confess it all to you now. I ask you to come into my life. I surrender my will and life over to you. And I ask you to come live in my heart. Let the Holy Spirit come live inside me. Help break free this channel so I can experience you at the deepest level, but more importantly, that I can be a channel for you to bless others, to feed the poor, to clothe the homeless, to reach those who are in need, wherever they may be, every day, one day at a time, for the rest of my life. Lord, we pray all this today, and we pray this in your Son's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.